Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 29th day of September 2020. And I am thrilled to have back on the program someone who I have grown to love to interview and have grown to love as a brother and friend in the Lord. His name is Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, and he is the pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and he's an author, and he has written a multi-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism. In fact, it is an 8-volume commentary titled An Exposition of the Theology and Ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism. Its official title is Authentic Christianity, and what I just read was the subtitle. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to discuss part 3 of your exposition of the Westminster Larger Catechism, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III.
It's always a pleasure and a privilege to be on your show, Chris.
It's always a pleasure and a privilege to have you on. If you could tell our listeners something about Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia.
Heritage Presbyterian Church is in Cumming, Georgia, which is Forsyth County, which is just north of Atlanta, about 40 or 50 miles. And we planted that church about 4 years ago. God has blessed it. We're still small, but as I often say, our influence far exceeds our numbers. And God has blessed our people to be faithful to Him in attendance, in their everyday life, in raising their children, in finances. I really love these people, and I praise God for them and pray that as time goes on, there are 3 petitions I make to God about our church. One is that God would deepen our spirituality. Second, that God would increase our influence. And third, that God would increase our numbers. We are a member of the Reformed Presbyterian Church, Heritage Presbytery, which is a very small, conservative, Reformed denomination with churches from coast to coast.
Great, and if anybody wants more information on Heritage Presbyterian Church, you could go to heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. And we are, as I said before, in part 3, we are entering part 3 of a discussion on the Westminster Larger Catechism. And by the way, if anybody wants to purchase the 8-volume set, Authentic Christianity, an Exposition of the Theology and Ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism, you could go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. But I understand that one of the things that sets apart the Westminster Larger Catechism as being unique is its approach to the concept of the doctrine of God. If you could explain.
I'm often asked by people who haven't been around Reformed churches, what's the difference about the Reformed faith? What is What are the distinctives of the Reformed faith, of which there are many? I mean, predestination, covenant, all kinds of things. But the most distinctive teaching of the Reformed faith is its teaching about God. Now, we'll talk about that today, but the thing that we need to see is there are things about God that the Reformed faith teaches that no other expression of Christianity teaches in Protestantism, Roman Catholicism, or Eastern Orthodoxy. And it's not that we follow blindly and men like Calvin and Luther, but it is we want to get all of our doctrines, everything we believe about anything, everything we believe about God from the Bible and from the Bible alone. You know, you can't force information out of God. You can't get to God and understand God simply by using human experience or human reason. He's incomprehensible. That is, he is infinite, we're finite, and we cannot reach him by intellect or by sensations. We can't make God tell us, we can't force information about him. You can force information out of a rock. You can put a rock under your microscope. You can put various chemicals on it. You can study it. And you can force all the information you want out of a rock. But you can't do that to a person. You can't do it to a human person. You can't know a human person unless that person lets you know him or her. And that's because we're made in the image of God. And so the only way that any human being can know God is for God to reveal himself, which he has done in Christ and the Bible. The Bible says in John 1 that Jesus is the exposition of God. Or to say it literally, he's the exegesis of God. So that if you want to know what God's like, you look at Jesus. But God has also put the revelation of his character in black and white on pages in the Bible, and has revealed to men who he is, what he's like, what his perfections are, and there's absolutely no way a person can know God apart from the Bible, apart from Christ. And the God of Christianity, and most particularly Reformed Christianity, is not the God of Islam. It's not the God of any other religion. It is the God who has revealed himself in Scripture. And I tell people, if your understanding of God is not in accordance with God's revelation of himself, you worship an idol. If somebody asks you, you know Joe Moorcraft, and you say yes, and then they ask you what he's like, and you say, well, he's short and skinny, which I'm neither. Then that means you don't really know Joe Moorcraft. And so when we say all these things about God, and everybody has his own opinion about God, but our opinions about God are worthless and are idolatrous unless they're in accord with what God really is and what he's really like. And the Westminster Standards, that is the Westminster Confession of Faith, and Larger Catechism and Shorter Catechism, which were written in the 1640s, to set forth for England and Scotland a basis for unity in Christianity and unity in the faith. They're not perfect, but they are biblical Christianity and their purest human expression. And the way these documents begin is by establishing the authority in Scripture, not in man. And then the first thing they talk about after that is God, because of that, the Bible is God, about God. It's not about you. It's not about me. It is about God, and we only come into the picture in our relationship to him.
Now, what exactly, if you could, is unique about the way this particular creedal document, this catechism, the Westminster Larger Catechism, what is different about the way it explains God?
It presupposes great distance between the Creator and the creature. That God is the infinite personal God. Man is the finite creature made in His image. And the distance between them is infinite. I have a preacher friend who's great. He uses a lot of Southern idiom and expressions. He was talking about the transcendence of God and how God is immanent in His creation, but He's also transcendent over His creation and far above His creation. And then he said, you might say God ain't from around here. I mean, that is theologically profound. He is not from around here. God is God, and we are creatures, and vast is the distance between us.
That reminded me of a brother that I know who's now with the Lord, originally from South Carolina, who during or in the very beginning of a sermon when he was a guest speaker at the church where I used to be a member on Long Island, he started out defining the doctrine of the sovereignty of God as God is the big boss of everything.
That's a good way of saying it, too. And that is one of the great distinctives of the Reformed faith understanding of God. He is sovereign. That is, He is the one to whom everybody is accountable. We're accountable to a God that's not accountable to us. That's one of the most important things I can tell you on your show today and tell your listeners. And it's one of the hardest lessons we have to learn, and that's the lesson that Job learned. Read Job, and you'll see that's the lesson he learned. In fact, here God puts him through his time of grief and heartache and suffering, which Job didn't understand, even though he was the godliest man in his culture. And God never did tell him why he had his children die, and why he lost his wealth, and why he lost his health, and why he lost his wife's sympathy. God never did tell him why in the book of Job. And he says, in effect, Job, I want you to learn that you are accountable to me. I'm not accountable to you. Once you learn that, you'll be content with my will, whatever it is in life, even though you can't understand it. So we're accountable to a God that's not accountable to us because He's the sovereign, but He is self-sufficient. That's one of the distinctive emphases of the Scriptures. That means a lot of things. That means, first of all, that God does what He pleases. Now, that's an actual statement, Psalm 115, Psalm 135. God does what He pleases. He doesn't do anything because somebody's making Him do it. He doesn't do it because somebody outside Him is causing Him to be obligated to do it. God does not ask people's opinion. God will do to every listener to your program. He will do to them and for them and through them whatever He pleases, and He will not ask their permission nor their approval. Now, that is very distasteful to a man or a woman in rebellion against God, but it is a great source of encouragement to those who love Him. God is self-sufficient. That is, He stands in need of nothing that He has made, Acts 17. He stands in need of nothing that He has made. We can look each other in the face, and every human being in the face and space, and say to them, God does not need you. There's nothing about you at all that God needs. You are of no benefit to God. You cannot give God anything that He has not given to you except your sin.
Now, I'm assuming then, from what you're telling us, that story that has been told to children, in fact, it's been told to adults for quite a long time from pulpits everywhere or Sunday school classes, that God created Adam in the Garden of Eden because He was lonely.
There's a famous black spiritual that's the basis of the whole spiritual. And that's what people believe today, that God needed somebody. He needed somebody to talk to. He needed somebody to complete Himself. that, but God, there's nothing about us God needs. I mean, think about it. If God needs me, I can pat myself on the back and I say, oh, I must be far more important than I thought I was. God's not complete except he has me. And so it boosts my pride and it boosts my self-confidence. But when you say to somebody, God does not need you, to a Christian, God does not need you, but he loves you, that does not boost pride. That humbles. That causes the believer to say, why in the world would a God who stands in need of nothing he has made love a sinner like I am? So when you say God loves you because he needs you, it boosts human pride. I mean, if God needs me as much as I need him, he's in worse shape than I am. To say that God is self-sufficient is to say, as the Bible calls him a God of blessedness, the blessed God. That is, God is completely content and happy in and of himself. And nothing outside of him can diminish or increase that happiness. If something outside of God can diminish God's happiness, then that means God's not perfect. But God is a God of self-sufficiency, content in himself, and he is thoroughly self-centered. Everything God does, he does for his own glory. He does for his own honor. He does for his own namesake. So people have asked me, well, isn't it sinful to be self-centered? Well, it is sinful for us to be self-centered, because we're not God. But I use this illustration, it's not a true story, but it gets the point, about a man that has the highest IQ possible. And he had PhDs in all kinds of subjects. And he called a press conference and said, I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to be rat-centered. Everything I'm going to do is to keep rats comfortable, to feed them, to have them around me. I'm going to be rat-centered. And you and I would say to that, well, that is really foolish for a man whose mind is greater than all other human minds to be centered on rats as the most important thing in his life. Well, for God to be centered on anything outside himself, other than himself, who is the highest, greatest, most majestic, wonderful person in the universe, for him to be centered on anything else is even more foolish than the man to be centered on rats. That God does all things for his own glory. He does whatever he pleases. And he loves himself. The Bible talks about God loving the Son and the Son loving God and the Holy Spirit. That these three persons of the Trinity have loved each other throughout all eternity. Augustine used a little illustration. It has its weaknesses to it, but he said God is the lover. The Son, God the Father is the lover. God the Son is the beloved. And God the Holy Spirit is the love. But the point is that the Trinity is not just an intellectual construct. We're talking about one God who simultaneously is three persons in that one God, and these three persons love themselves. In fact, God loves himself far more than he loves any of us. Jesus loves God more than he loves any of us. And these are all some of the great distinctives of the Reformed faith that we emphasize that God is God. He's not a man. And the most important thing to God is God. He's sovereign. He does whatever he pleases. He's foreordained whatsoever comes to pass in time. He does all things for his own glory. He loves himself supremely. He stands in need of nothing he has made. That is God. And when a Christian hears those things, even though he's never heard them before sometimes, because some preachers don't preach these things, they make God look like a big man. And they forget the distance between the Creator and the creature. But when a real Christian hears these things, he says, that's my God. I love that God. And I love everything about him. And I love all of his perfections.
Now, one of the things...
The God of most people today is too small. A pathetic God that can't do anything unless we let him do it. That God owes us things. That in some sense God needs us. You know, that I tell people there's two words that God will never say to any human being. Thank you.
That's very true. Never even thought of that, I don't think.
Yeah.
One of the things that you mentioned that I want you to elaborate on that makes Reformed Christianity and our understanding of God different than what all other expressions of Christendom believe about God is that we believe that God is never frustrated, never disappointed, and eternally joyful, knowing that everyone whom he chooses to save will be saved. He is not going to be eternally frustrated over the fact or eternally saddened by the fact that there are countless billions of people for whom his son Jesus Christ died, who will be in hell nonetheless for eternity.
And that, you know, that is a wonderful thought to know that man cannot frustrate God, cannot keep God from accomplishing his purposes. Like Isaiah says, once God stretched out his arm to do something, who can hold it back? And the answer is nobody. That God is the only God, the God of the Bible, besides whom there is no other. He creates light and he creates darkness. He creates good times, and he creates calamitous times. One time I was on a talk show in Connecticut, and I was here in Atlanta, and they were asking me questions, and you know, New England is pretty much gone ever since Unitarianism took it over in the early 1800s. And so this talk show had me on asking questions about the relationship of Christianity and natural disasters. And this lady asked me a question about that. I think I offended her right off by my accent. But she asked me, what's the relation of God and natural disaster? So I just quoted the text that I just said from either Isaiah 45 or 46, I can't remember, where God says, I am the Lord, besides me there is no other. I create light, I create darkness, I create good times, I create calamities. I am the Lord who does all these things. I didn't say anything else. And the lady in Connecticut said, well, that's just your interpretation. And I said, ma'am, I didn't interpret anything. I just read you what the Bible says. That God is in charge. He is in complete control of everything that happens in the universe, and nothing can go wrong. Somebody is in the driver's seat of the universe, and it's not man. It's the living God. And he accomplishes his will, and the only reason you and I have free will at all and can make decisions is because a sovereign God has willed that we have wills. And that people forget about that. They think that the human will is so sacred that they think that any doctrine of the sovereignty of God will violate it, and they forget that the only reason man can choose certain things, or has the freedom, should I say, to choose certain things, is because a sovereign God has willed that he hasn't. Now, there's certain things that a sinful man can't do unless God gives him the power to do, like believe in Jesus, but man does have a will. We don't want to deny that. But man's will is not sovereign. I was at a big crusade one time of a famous evangelist, and he said this. In fact, it's this man that made me a Calvinist, because I loved this guy. I wanted to be like him. I wanted to preach the same message he preached. And it was what he said at this crusade that made me go into the arms of the Reformed faith. He said, God has given you a will to choose whatever you want to choose, and he can't do a thing about it.
Wow.
I thought then, poor God. Now, God has given us wills, but our wills are not sovereign. The average human being would say, well, my will, it's everything. It's the most valuable thing I own. It determines everything. Well, let me ask you. Did anybody out there in the audience will to be born? Why don't you right now will to become a millionaire in the next 5 minutes? why don't you will not to die? Many of the most important things that happen to us do not happen to us because we willed them, but because God willed them. And so it is these understandings of God that the Protestant Reformation recovered from the scriptures and from Augustine that the old medieval church had neglected. And so after the Protestant Reformation in the 1500s and 1600s, these great truths held sway for generations. In fact, the first several generations of Americans, the vast majority of them all believed these things. And it wasn't until the late 18th century that things started to change, when people started to put more confidence in their individual rights, their individual sanctity and autonomy and independence of God, that caused Christianity to collapse in New England and be replaced with Unitarianism that says the only way we can know God is by human reason and experience, that the Bible's not the Word of God, that man is basically good, that the Reformed faith is terrible for saying that man is totally depraved, and that man is perfectible by a civil government that has compulsory state education and controls every area of life. So that view, departing from the historical reform view of God, took place in New England in the late 1700s. And then in the southern states, it started changing in the late 1800s. So that by the time we come into the 20th century, the pulpits of this country, even those who didn't know it, or even those who call themselves Reformed, many of them had already departed from the faith. So what we're seeing today in places like Portland and Seattle and Chicago and New York and Washington, D.C. and the Congress and all these other things, what we see happening in our culture is the inevitable outworking and consequences of the West turning from the Reformed doctrine of God. I'll give you an example so that you'll know I'm not exaggerating.
In fact, could you give us the example after our first break?
Yeah, sure.
I don't want to interrupt you mid-sentence.
Yeah, don't let me forget, and I will.
Okay. Folks, if you want to join us on the air with a question of your own for Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, send in your email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Joe Moorcraft after these messages from our sponsors.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You, I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at IronSharpensIronRadio.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at IronSharpensIronRadio.com, where you can click support. That's IronSharpensIronRadio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim.
You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Butta Fuoco and Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you just tuned us in today, our guest today for the full 2 hours is Joseph C. Moorcraft III. We are in our third part of a series that Dr. Moorcraft began some time ago on authentic Christianity, an exposition of the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism. And as I said, this is part three. And if you have a question that you'd like to ask Dr. Moorcraft, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And before the break, Dr. Moorcraft, I believe what you were saying was that the Western world has turned their back or has refused to believe in the Reformed understanding of who God is, and that is the cause of all the great ills that we face. I believe that's what you were saying, but if you could...
Yes, sir.
Well, you could pick up where you left off there.
Everything we see going on today that grieves us and angers us is a result of the West leaving its understanding of God. The founding of Pilgrims and Puritans and that came to this country came with that view of God. We see, my favorite patriotic hymn is, that's not a hymn, patriotic song, is My Country 'Tis of Thee, Great Land of Liberty, of Thee I Sing. And the last stanza says that God is the author of liberty because he is, quote, the great God our King. In other words, they understood that a society cannot be free unless it believes in the total sovereignty of Almighty God. Because if it doesn't believe in the total unconditional sovereignty of Almighty God, it will believe in the sovereignty of man. And if you believe in the sovereignty of man, or if you believe that man is outside the control of God, that always breeds tyranny. It's interesting that during the Reformation period, in the early 1600s in England, when the Puritans were trying to bring the power of the Word of God to bear upon every area of life, it was those Arminians, that is, those who stood against the Reformed faith, that always sided with the tyrannical Stuart kings, like James and Charles, because these men claim to be above the law. Their will is the law. They are the sovereigns. And so when we, everybody believes in sovereignty. You're either going to believe in the sovereignty of God or you're going to believe in the sovereignty of man. And when this culture quit believing that we have liberty only because we believe that God is king and in control of every area of life, then we started worshiping man, and we started seeing the democratization of Christianity, where the emphasis was taken off and the focus taken off of the sovereign God and placed on the autonomy, independence, sovereignty of man. I saw a bumper sticker one time that was produced by a right-wing organization, political organization, that has a lot of good views. But I was shocked because the bumper sticker they were trying to get people to put on the car said, sovereign forever. And I thought, ooh, I didn't know this organization believed in the sovereignty of God, but they were talking about God. They were talking about the people. We the people of the United States, we've got to be sovereign forever. And that's why we oppose dictators, because we want man people, the state of the United States, be sovereign. There's no such thing as the sovereignty of man. That God is sovereign. God is independent. Man is dependent. It's God that is the king, not we. And so you see, in the early days of the Reformation, they understood these things. They wrote out these things. In fact, it wasn't just the Reformed Presbyterians. And of course, most of the people that wrote the Westminster Larger Catechism were Presbyterians. But it was also the Reformed Baptists of the day. Well, you and I both know, Chris, that that Reformed Baptist came out with a confession, and I just checked it during the commercials, that the Reformed Baptist came out with a confession in 1689, the Second London Baptist Confession. Westminster Confession was written in the 1640s, predominantly Presbyterian. And I'm going to read a paragraph that pretty much summarizes everything we've been saying this evening, and it's identical. The Second London Baptist Confession of 1689 and the Westminster Confession of Faith of 1640s. So let me read this one paragraph. God has all life, glory, goodness, blessedness in and of himself, and is alone in and unto himself all sufficient, not standing in need of his creatures which he has made, nor deriving any glory from them, but only manifesting his own glory in, by, unto, and upon them. He is the alone fountain of all being, of whom, through whom, and to whom are all things, and has most sovereign dominion over them, to do by them, for them, or upon them, whatever he pleases. In his sight all things are open and manifest. His knowledge is infinite, infallible, and independent upon the creature, so as nothing is to him contingent or uncertain. He is most holy in all his counsels, in all his works, and in all his commands. To him is due from angels and men and every other creature, whatever work, service, or obedience he is pleased to require of them. Now, the only way we're going to stop all of this burning of America, both literally, morally, politically, culturally, as it rushes toward the precipice, the only way is not by Republicans or Democrats or third party, but by the church returning to the old Reformed doctrine of God.
Amen.
If we don't do that, there's no hope, because the Bible says in Proverbs, those who hate me love death. And that's why we see death all around us, is because even among churches that claim to be Bible-believing churches, and evangelical churches, and fundamentalist churches, they don't love the God of our fathers anymore. I have a book, which is terrible. I don't recommend it to anybody. It's called The History of God. And the first sentence of the book says, in the beginning, man made God in his own image.
Wow.
And then it goes through the various gods that people worship. But then in conclusion chapter, it says, now everybody needs a god. So pick the god of your choice. It doesn't matter who he is, except there's one God you don't want to pick. And he's the cause of all hatred, prejudice, wars, oppression throughout history, and his name is Jehovah. So we see a deliberate rebellion against the God of our fathers in this culture. They hate that God, and so as a result, they're dying. Their policies produce death. And it goes, we see this departure from God beginning in the very early days of our republic, when people said that every man has the right to worship the God of his choice. Well, I'll tell you, if you worship the God of your choice and it's not Jehovah, you will go to hell when you die.
Amen. In fact, years ago, when I checked myself into a hospital for my addiction to alcohol, I was waiting for an open bed in a Christian rehab ministry in North Carolina called Hebron Colony Ministries. I can never stop singing the praises.
I know it. That's a good place.
HebronColony.org is the website, HebronColony.org. But before I went there, I checked into a hospital because they had a rehab wing, and I just wanted to wait there until I could go to Hebron so I could at least isolate myself from the ability to drink myself to death. And they had a secular psychologist that I had to see. It was a requirement that I had to see her for group therapy. And one of the things that she said, which is completely connected to the, at least the modern version of the 12-step program, AA and NA, Alcoholics and Narcotics Anonymous, you could pick a higher power, and it could be any higher power of your own choosing. And I said to that woman that is blasphemy. And she said, well, I know that you're a Christian, but why can't you just keep those views that you believe are very important? Why can't you just keep them to yourself? And I said, well, for centuries, before I was even born, men, women, and children were tortured and murdered for their faith in Jesus Christ, and they went willfully to their deaths rather than deny God. I'm supposed to keep my mouth shut just because it makes you feel uncomfortable?
Right.
And I said, it's absolutely blasphemous to think that you can make a tree your God. No, actually, I said that you can make a chair your God. And she said, no, you can't make a chair your God. It has to be something living like a tree. And I said, well, what about when they cut the tree down and make a chair out of it?
That's pretty good.
But anyway.
Well, I'll tell you, it what makes it worse is, in the past 20-some years, there have been these real heresies creep into what were once strong Reformed churches and strong Reformed seminaries. So that today you find very respectable Reformed preachers and scholars teaching things that are diametrically opposed to the faith of our fathers. For instance,
in fact, we're going to have you bring that up when we come back, because we have to go to our middle.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
We have to go to our middle break right now. And I hope that you all begin writing down your questions for Dr. Moorcraft. We have some questions already that have come in, and I hope that you will patiently wait for Dr. Moorcraft to answer them. But this is the longer than normal break, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they have to, by FCC regulations, they have to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, so they air their own public service announcements. While they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down as many or as much of the information as you possibly can for or from as many of our advertisers as you can, so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize our advertisers, because that will help keep them happy, and that will help keep them sponsoring this program, because we depend on our advertisers to exist. So please, at the very least, contact our sponsors and thank them for sponsoring this show. But send in your questions for Dr. Moorcraft at chrisarnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute. a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
Faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333, or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com. and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, make Solid Ground Christian Books your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. That's solid-ground-books.com. Solid-ground-books.com. They are a vital, a primary, a necessary sponsor of this program, so therefore, the more you patronize Solid Ground Christian Books with your purchases, the more likely they will be willing and able to continue sponsoring this program, which will mean more than likely we will be able to continue airing this program because we absolutely rely upon their generosity to exist. And by the way, you're not only going to be doing Solid Ground Christian Books a favor or us a favor by purchasing books from them, they have published and brought back into print the finest in Christian literature, not only from the past, but also from the present. So go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and always mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as your source for discovering solid-ground-books.com. Before we return to Joe Moorcraft, just have a couple of important announcements to make. First of all, tomorrow we are going to be joined by Pastor Josh Miller and also Pastor Mike Riccardi. Pastor Josh Miller is the pastor of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and Pastor Mike Riccardi is the pastor of local outreach at Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, the church where John MacArthur is the senior pastor, world-renowned Bible teacher, radio and TV preacher and teacher, conference speaker, and best-selling author. Mike Riccardi is going to be speaking on One Hope of One Message, and it's largely going to be a conference on the glorious doctrine of reconciliation. That will be Saturday and Sunday as far as the conference is concerned. But Pastor Josh Miller and Pastor Mike Riccardi will be on the program tomorrow to discuss that great theme that we hope that you will come to hear tomorrow, and we hope that you, if you're able to, will also go to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania this weekend to hear live and in person as both Pastor Riccardi and Pastor Miller preach on these themes. Also, folks, if you love this program and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing that. You can also, if you prefer snail mail, you can mail in a check made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to the address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Also, you can advertise with us as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what I believe. Please, folks, as I try to remember to warn you every day, I don't want people taking money away from their regular giving to their own local church where they are a member. I don't want you to take away from them to give to us. I don't want you to be punishing your church because you want to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I know you don't look at it like you're punishing them, but you are hurting them financially if you're taking away from them to give to us. That's a command of God to provide for your church. Another command of God is to provide for your home. So if you are really struggling to survive, if you're really having a hard time making ends meet and you're falling behind on your bills and so on, please don't put your family in further financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio either, because that's another command of God, is providing for your family. And while providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command of God, obviously, if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and your home, you have extra money, perhaps you've been saving money because you haven't been going to your favorite sporting events lately due to the quarantining, you haven't been going out fine dining, you haven't been going to the movies, you haven't been going to theatrical performances at theaters and playhouses, you haven't been going to concerts, you haven't been going to Bible conferences. Well, please use some or all of that money that you've been saving to help us remain on the air. We are in urgent need of your donations. We've lost our two largest financial supporters because of the hysteria connected to the coronavirus pandemic. Their businesses were hurt so hard that they had to put on hiatus, if you will, and perhaps even permanently, I don't know yet, withdraw their continued support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. It has put us in a very precarious, a very dangerous position financially. If you want us to remain on the air and you are able to help, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, you might not even be aware that there may be churches within a minute or two drive from your house that are biblically faithful. I have found churches for people in this audience from all over the world that they didn't even know existed. And I may be able to help you too. And I may be able to help your family, friends, and loved ones who don't have church homes. I may be able to help you when you're going on vacation and you want to honor God and visit the house of worship that is most biblically faithful in that area. Well, I can possibly help you, God willing, because I do have extensive lists all over the planet. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And Dr. Moorcraft, I believe, before we went to the break, you were talking about institutions of higher learning and other establishments, organizations that were at one time faithful to Reformed theology, faithful to the catechisms and creeds and confessions of the Reformed faith, and especially faithful to the Bible, but have turned their back on those very important things. And if you could, continue where you left off.
Yes, sir. And there are Reformed churches, Reformed scholars, Reformed seminaries, Reformed authors that are criticizing the faith of our Westminster Fathers on God. I'll give you an example. There are people right now whose names you would know who are redefining what it means to say that God is immutable and eternal. There is a sentence in the Confession of Faith and the Baptist Confession that says that God is unchangeable and eternal without body parts or passions. And the point is that God is always the same. That God is not, what goes on in God is not determined by what happens outside of God. Now, that should be obvious. I mean, but there are now people, famous people, saying that God is not unchangeable and eternal in the historical sense of those words. That there are some things about God that are unchangeable and eternal, but there are other things in God that change according to his relationship to man, and that God's relationship to Christians is a two-way street. That just like our lives are influenced and changed by our relationship with God, so God's life is influenced and changed by his relationship to us. You see, all of these views puts man in the place of God. There was a man that preached at my son's baccalaureate at what was allegedly, or I should say ostensibly, Presbyterian University. And he said this, quote, "When God loves you, it transforms him."
Wow.
And these are in institutions that profess to hold the Westminster Confession of Faith.
Really?
Not that one, not that university, but there are professors who say similar things. They're not willing to be that blatant because they know they can't afford to be. But they are really holding into question the historic understanding of God by the Westminster standards. And there is a book I want to recommend. It is a difficult book to read because it is so profound and so in-depth, but it is so biblical. And it supports the Westminster Larger Catechism's understanding of God as blessed in and of himself, self-sufficient, not standing in need of anything he's made. It defends and explains that view against all of its critics, and then it goes to the critics one at a time and refutes them. It is a great little short paperback book that I recommend to you. It will require the exertion of intellectual and spiritual energy to understand it because it is really difficult to read. I want to emphasize that. It's called All That Is in God.
Yeah, that's what Brother Dolezal. Brother
Dolezal.
Yes, I interviewed him on that, actually.
Dolezal. And it, All That Is in God is a part of a phrase from Augustine, who said that all that is in God is God. So that God, you change any of his perfections. He's no longer God. If God's not sovereign, or if he's just sort of partially sovereign, he's not God. You can't fool around with God's perfections. God is his perfections. It's not that God has characteristics. God is his perfections. God is love. God is a consuming fire. And so when you change any of the perfections of God in any way, God is no longer God. And if you have a God that is transformed or changed by what man does to him, you have a God that's less than the God who really is there. So All That Is in God by Dolezal. I recommend you read it, but I recommend you buy it for your preacher. And there's another book I would recommend for your preacher. I love this book so much. And it's not easy reading either. But I keep a copy of it in my study and in my den, so that we're always within arm's reach of this book. And it doesn't have an exciting title. It's called The Doctrine of God by a man named Bavinck. B-A-V-I-N-C-K.
Herman Bavinck.
Not easy reading. But those two books represent the historic view of who God is. He is eternal, he is unchangeable, he's sovereign, he's self-sufficient, and everything else we've been talking about.
In fact, I want to direct our listeners, if you want to hear my interview with Dr. James E. Dolezal, who wrote...
That is great.
Who wrote All That Is in God, the book that was just being promoted by Dr. Moorcraft, All That Is in God, Evangelical Theology and the Challenge of Classical Christian Theism. You go to the search engine of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you click on past, or actually podcast, and then in parentheses it says past shows, podcast, past shows, you click on that, and if you type into the search engine, Dolezal, that interview will come up. I conducted that interview some time ago. That was actually August 10th of a year or more ago. I think that you will be blessed by that. It was actually 2017. You will be blessed.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah, in fact, you just put the bug in my ear to invite Dr. Dolezal back on the show.
Yeah, that would be good.
I'm sure he'll be pleased to hear that you so enthusiastically endorsed his book. We do have a couple of listeners that are waiting, and hopefully they're waiting patiently to have their questions asked. I usually don't give the full name of listeners, but since this is an individual who I know very well and who, in fact, I used to work with as a part-time employee when I worked for Calvary Press Publishing a number of years ago, Joseph M. Bianchi is president of Calvary Press Publishing now in Greenville, South Carolina. And let me give a plug to his website. It's calvarypress.com, calvarypress.com. And I'll even throw in his toll-free number, 877-775-5479, 877-775-5479. But Joseph M. Bianchi says, at what point do free will churches fall into heresy? Specifically, are they sub-biblical or outright heretical?
Well, you know, there is a chapter in the Westminster Confession of Faith, and I'm sure in the Baptist Confession, called Of Free Will. Most people distinguish but say that Calvinism believes in the sovereignty of God, and anti-Calvinism or Arminianism believes in free will of man. That is not accurate. Both of us, Arminians and Calvinists, have a doctrine of free will. That is, that man has a will and that he has the freedom to choose whatever he wants to choose. That he's not an automaton. He's not a puppet. He has a free will to choose whatever he wants to choose.
And the key word is whatever he wants to choose.
Yeah, that's the point. The point is that his will is not some independent, autonomous thing that just acts, but that his will is governed by the nature of his heart. And that if his heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, he'll never want anything good. That heart will never want God. It'll never want Christ. And so, therefore, he will never choose Christ because he doesn't want Christ. And the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It is the heart that determines your choices, your will, your preference, everything. So that we do have a free will. We can choose whatever we want to choose, but our will is governed by our hearts, and it's like a cow eating grass, chewing its cud. A cow will never start eating little lambs like a lion and tearing the jugular vein out of a lion unless that cow's nature has changed into that of a lion. And the same way with the human will, we would never will to serve Christ or to love him unless God changes our hearts. And that's what the new birth is all about. Ezekiel 36 says that God changes the heart of the sinner from that which is evil and hard as a rock to something soft and pliable with God's law written in it, the Holy Spirit filling it. And it is that change of heart that is the new birth. And until God change a person's heart, he will never even want to believe in Jesus. He won't be able to do anything pleasing unto God because his heart is evil, totally depraved. So we believe that man has the freedom, but not the ability, to choose Christ. God's not standing over him with a shotgun saying, don't you dare choose Christ. I mean, anybody may choose Christ who will choose him. But until we're born again, we can't because we're dead in our trespasses and sins. But the other thing is that the Arminian or the average American, when he talks about free will, what he really means, as we said a while ago, is sovereign will. What I will is what happens to me, which is one of the greatest myths of all times. Only God's will is sovereign.
Amen.
So I think it is a terrible heresy to believe that man has a will that can override the will of Almighty God. I mean, it's not heresy, it's idolatry. If my will can override the will of God, then I am superior to God, and that's the worst form of idolatry.
Amen. I don't know exactly where you are on this. I am, however, very patient with those that I believe are my brothers and sisters in Christ, who for some reason have not reached a point of agreement with the Reformed faith. I think that we do have to be careful not to think that somehow we were more discerning and brilliant than they in recognizing these truths in the Scriptures, and think that we are somehow superior when the doctrines of grace are actually meant to humble us. And therefore, in fact, I learn from some of my brethren who are not Reformed because their lives may be a lot more holier than mine.
So how true is that? That a lot of people don't know any better. They have preachers that will not preach to them the truth. And here's the thing to realize: the doctrines we profess to believe are not always the doctrines we live by. That's good for Arminians, it's bad for Calvinists. The doctrines we profess to believe are not always the doctrines we live by. I've learned through the years that you have some non-Calvinists who profess to believe certain doctrines, but in their heart of hearts, they don't.
Right. As J.I. Packer said, we're all Calvinists on our knees.
Yeah. I'll give you an example. I was preaching in I was preaching in a church in Southwest Virginia in the Appalachian Mountains, and I went to see this very old lady at the most remote place I've ever been to, called Tom Bottom. And she went to this hyper-Pentecostal church. I mean, they were hyper-extreme, and she would never even think about going to a Presbyterian church, but she liked me as a person. And I liked her, and I liked her cooking. So I would go to her house every now and then. She was an older woman, and I would eat dinner with her. And her name was Ms. Mullins. She lived up on top of a mountain above Tom Bottom. And she wanted me to sit with her one time and pray for her Uncle John, who was a drunk. Now, she went to a church that said it despised the Reformed faith, or even mainstream Protestantism. It was extreme Pentecostalism. So she is, so we're sitting in her living room, and here's how she prays. She prays, "Oh, sovereign God, if you would, if it is your will, please save Uncle John from his drunkenness." And that's as Calvinistic as you want to get.
Amen.
So the doctrines you profess to believe are not always the doctrines you live by. And so there are Arminians out there that don't live by what they profess.
I can remember seeing a sermon, a horrible, horrible sermon, by the man who was at the time president of Liberty University and Seminary, Ergen Kaner, who was actually eventually proven to be a fraud. He claimed to have been one time a jihadist, and he was raised in a very moderate Muslim home before he became a Christian, so a lot of his story was just totally made up. But he was a vehement anti-Calvinist. And he preached this sermon, trying to be humorous, with the title, "Why God Predestined That I Would Not Be a Calvinist." So he went on and on with this ridiculous and juvenile and self-contradictory sermon. And when he was finished, Jerry Falwell got up to the podium and saying, "Oh, amen, amen, wasn't that a wonderful sermon, wasn't that, well, let's bow our heads in prayer." And then Jerry Falwell began to pray like a Calvinist. "Lord, yeah, open the eyes of the lost who are out there. Lord, you know, give them new hearts," et cetera, et cetera. I mean, unbelievable. I'm just sitting there. How can he even be praying that if he rejects with a passion?
Yeah. Well, you know, on the other hand, if the doctrines we profess are not the doctrines we live by, that not only means that there are some Arminians out there that will go to heaven, it means there are some Calvinists out there that will go to hell.
That's right. In fact, I have actually heard, going back to the extreme of Arminianism, I have actually heard, and I'm just astonished at this, I have heard at Christian or allegedly Christian funerals, the famous poem Invictus.
Oh, that's a damnable poem.
Oh, yeah, read by, it was authored by William Ernest Henley, and it has been read at the funerals even of Christians. In fact, Congressman John Lewis, who just passed away, I believe it was his granddaughter or some young girl in his family, read his favorite poem, and I'm gonna quickly read through this poem because it is actually the logical outcome of Arminianism. "Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." And that is one of the most blasphemous poems that has ever been written.
I preached the funeral. I preached a sermon for this guy at his funeral, and then his brother, who was a psychologist, got up right after I finished and read that poem.
Wow.
I mean, that is, it puts shivers all through my spine to hear it. But even though the average person wouldn't say it, the average Christian today believes I am the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul. I determine the way my will determines my future. Even though the Bible says in John 1:12-13, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God, even to those that believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but who were born of God. In other words, the will of man is a man's most solid obstacle in coming to Christ. That God's got to change that man's will.
Amen. And we have to go to our final break right now. It's going to be a lot more brief than the last two. So please, if you have any intention of sending in a question, do it immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III right after these messages from our sponsors.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jansen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to
the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and this is our final segment of our interview today with Joseph C. Moorcraft III. We are discussing the Westminster Larger Catechism. This is actually part three of a series that we began on the Westminster Catechism. And if you'd like to join us on the air, please do so immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We have John in Peoria, Illinois, who says, Dr. Moorcraft, do you recommend as worthy any other commentaries on the Westminster Larger Catechism aside from your own? You know, giving your competition a little plug he's asking for, basically.
Well, that's okay. I don't know if either one of them are still in print, however. There's only been three. And one, the first one, was done in the early 1700s by a man named Thomas Ridgely. And it's two volumes, and it's very good. And if you can find it, it's well worth getting. Two volumes of the Larger Catechism by Thomas Ridgely. And then 30 or 40 years ago, a great man named Johannes Voss, wrote a one volume, about 800 or 900 page, commentary on the Larger Catechism. And that is particularly good.
Did you say Johannes? I thought it was Gerhardus with a G.
Well, Gerhardus was his daddy.
Oh, okay.
And he taught at Princeton Seminary in the early part of the 20th century. Johannes, I think, was a member of the Reformed Presbyterian Church Covenanter. And it is a big, fat paperback book and well worth getting. But those are the only three that I know of since it was written in the 1640s, is mine and Ridgely's and Voss.
Huh. We do have Bibi in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, I know of another theological heresy that flies in the face of the immutability of God, and that is open theism. Have you heard of it, and can you explain how dangerous this doctrine is?
It is terrible. Terrible doctrine. And it is the idea that just as the future is open to us, that is, we can't control the future, we do not know, even though God does, we don't even know what the future holds as human beings, so is it for God, that the whole future is open to God. He hasn't controlled the future, and he doesn't know what's in store for him, so it is a terrible view of God.
Yes, in fact, I know that some advocates of that system, that heresy, have actually called themselves consistent Arminians.
Well, that's a good name for them. I think we ought to tell your people, they probably know, but why we refer to anti-Calvinists as Arminians. Not Armenians. Armenian's a country over in the Middle East.
Rushdoony was an Armenian.
R.J. Rushdoony, a great Calvinist, was of Armenian descent. Arminius is the name of a man called Jacob Arminius, who was taught at Geneva, and in private he taught doctrines contrary to Calvin and the Protestant reformers. He taught that man is not totally depraved, that, in fact, that's how the five points of Calvin came into existence. The Synod of Dort, which was the council of the whole Reformed Church of Europe, except for France, and the Catholic government wouldn't let them come. The whole Reformed world of Europe gathered together at the Synod of Dort, D-O-R-T, a city in Holland, and adjudicated this doctrine taught by Jacob Arminius, who publicly would say he was a Reformed person, but in private he would repudiate all the doctrines of the Reformed faith. And when he was called on the carpet by the Synod of Dort, he had a heart attack and died. So he did not go to the Synod of Dort, but his disciples went and tried to defend themselves against the whole Reformed world. They believed that man is not totally depraved, he's just flawed in his sin, that election is not unconditional, that God looked forward in time and saw who would believe, and he chose them, so it's conditional, that Christ's death was not limited in its purpose to those that God chose, but it was for everybody in the whole wide world, that God's grace is not irresistible. It can be resisted ultimately by man, even though God wants you saved. And that a person who's a true Christian can lose his faith and be lost. So in answer to the five points of Arminianism, the Synod of Dort answered him with the five points of Calvinism. Total depravity. Man is dead in his trespasses and sins and totally incapable of doing anything about his situation, apart from the new birth, that election is unconditional, that God didn't look forward in time and see who would believe, but people believe because God chose them before the beginning of time, that the atonement of Christ is designed to save God's people from their sins, hence limited atonement, that God's grace is irresistible, that when God sets his scopes on somebody to save that person will be saved. And that once God has saved a person, P, perseverance of the saints, that person is not only eternally secure, but that person will persevere in a path of godliness to one degree or another the rest of his life. So that's where the five points of Calvinism come from. Calvinism is far bigger than the five points. And the five points of Calvinism are the Reformed world's answer to Jacob Arminius. And they found him guilty of teaching heresy. They defrocked him from the ministry. And Holland expelled all preachers that believed it from Holland. What's interesting is that Arminius basically believed old medieval scholasticism of the Roman Church in the Middle Ages. The technical name for that view is semi-Pelagianism. That is the idea that you have to believe in Jesus in order to be born again. And Dort said to Arminius and to medieval scholasticism, you have to be born again in order to believe in Jesus. And so here we are in the 21st century, and most evangelical Christians believe what was condemned at the Synod of Dort, and believe the old medieval scholasticism of the Roman Catholic Church, and they don't know it. The average evangelical today believes you must believe in Jesus first in order to be born of God, whereas the historical faith of our fathers and the Westminster Standards is you must be born of God in order to believe in Jesus in order to be saved. Let me quote once again Romans 1, 12 and 13. John 1, 12 and 13. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God, even to those that believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but who were born of God, and that's the reason they believed.
Amen. And in Acts 13:48, I have never heard an Arminian give an adequate answer to that. Those who were ordained unto eternal life believed, not the other way around. Not those who believed were ordained unto eternal life. Those who were ordained unto eternal life believe.
Well, let me tell you how the Living Bible perverts that verse. The Living Bible is a Bible that's not even good for kindling. And I used to have a Pakistani Christian friend who referred to it as the broken Bible. But here's how I call it, Kenneth Taylor's Bible storybook for children. But anyway, here's how he translates in quotes Acts 13:48, because he knew he has to do something with that verse. He said, it says, as many as wanted eternal life believed.
Wow.
In other words, not only is it a gross mistranslation of the Greek, but it takes salvation entirely out of the hands of God and puts it in the hands of men.
Wow. Very quickly, I think he's a mutual friend of yours and mine, Jerry Johnson. He was involved in the production.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen him in years.
Yes. He was involved in the production of Amazing Grace, the History and Theology of Calvinism, a phenomenal, monumental DVD series. In fact, I think you're a part of that, aren't you?
Yes, sir, I am. That is a great thing that he did in producing that.
He said, I'm almost certain it was him, that Jacob Arminius's soteriology was even more severely heretical than your average non-Calvinist Baptist or your average non-Calvinist who might be labeled an Arminian by us, but the evangelical Arminian, although he is still in error, is less severe in his heresy. Would you agree with that?
Well, I don't know what he's getting at, but modern evangelicalism is based on Arminius. So Arminius would, in private, be very severe in his anti-Reformed comments, though in public, because he knew he couldn't keep his job since he taught at Geneva. He couldn't keep his job unless he, in public, said he agreed with the Calvinists, but in private he would try to pervert the students at Geneva.
Well, it has been such a joy having you on the program. I look forward to your return to this program frequently, and I want to make sure that our listeners have all of the information that they need. First of all, the website for Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia is heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. If you want to purchase the 8-volume commentary on Authentic Christianity, an exposition of the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism by our guest today, Dr. Joe Moorcraft, you can go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. I just can't thank you enough, Brother Moorcraft. You always do such a superb job on this program, and I hope that you actually remain on the air so we can schedule our next interview.
Yes, sir. You are very, very welcome.
Okay, if you could hold on the line when we go off the air, that'd be great.
Yes, sir.
I want to thank everybody who listened today, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.